You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Data this week indicates that the COVID-19 curve is flattening in some parts of the state. So what comes next? I spoke with California's Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis about how the state plans to reopen its economy. But first, I asked for an update on COVID-19 testing capacity.
As far as testing goes, I'm glad you started with that because we've turned a corner in many ways in terms of feeling pretty comfortable that we have flattened this curve. Now, I don't say that lightly. Unfortunately, we've lost far too many people to this terrible virus. In California, we've lost more than 800 people. So it really is terrible. But we have turned a corner, and we know that the social distancing measures that have been so dramatic and so life-changing for everyone have actually had the desired effect of minimizing community spread. So that's great news. And I know even there in the Central Valley, the numbers are even lower than in some of the more densely populated parts of the state. But as we think about the next phase and how we move to relaxing some of the shelter in place restrictions, we really have to talk about testing. We have to ramp up our testing. If people are able to find out if they have the virus, if they don't have the virus, or if they have had it in the past, it will help us to be able to determine who it can safely go back into the workplace and into public public situations, and also who we need to maybe add an additional level of quarantine for people who have tested positive. So testing is key. We are now up to about 12,000 tests a day in California. That's about half our goal. Our goal is to get to 25,000 tests a day by the end of the month. We're on track to do that. We may even end up doing far more than that, which I think would be terrific. You may have seen that Fresno State is doing analyzing test results and completing the test process on campus there, which is great news. And it's great for Fresno State to be doing its part. So we're on track, and it is going to be a key part of how we look at, again, getting people back to work and back into public places.
Without a doubt, and I think there's been a great deal of frustration around this issue of testing. Where has the bottleneck been, and what is tangibly being done to make those tests more widely available?
So as part of my job as Lieutenant Governor, I sit on the Regents of the University of California and as a trustee of the CSU. And developing the test did not take very long. Several of our UC hospitals had a test pretty quickly. The bottleneck really has been in materials to process the test. So swabs, the most common test requires the swabbing of a person on the inside of their nose. And it requires a very specialized swab to take that sample. And frankly, there just weren't enough of them to go around. So that was a big part of it. The other supply is something called a reagent, which is used in the processing part of the test. And those were in short supply as well. So again, in California, we're very fortunate. We are the fifth largest economy in the world. We actually have the ability to work with local manufacturing to develop supplies. So part of getting to the mass scaling up of testing is going to be having the supplies to do it. And again, we feel that we're on track to get there.
So as you mentioned, we've really seen a shift in this week. We went from a hyper-focus on when the peak will come to instead looking at what the world will look like when the stay-at-home directives start to lift. Governor Newsom has made it very clear that social distancing is our new normal for the foreseeable future. But with that in mind, can you give us a sense of what the world is going to look like when the economy starts to open?
You're absolutely right. The conversation has moved very, very quickly from having our arms around the health crisis to now looking at the economic crisis that it's created in its wake. And the both of these things are extremely important. And fortunately, as we've been working on the response to the health crisis, there have been a lot of people working on the economic outfall as well. And so what you saw earlier this week is a very quick pivot to economic issues. So part of the challenge here is that we don't exactly know how this virus is transmitted. And we have a lot of information, but there are still things that we don't know. And so what we're looking at right now is bridging a period of time between this moment that we basically went on lockdown and minimized community spread to a future date when we don't really have to worry about COVID-19. And that moment will not come until we either have a vaccine or we have what's known as herd immunity or some combination. So I think what everyone is really recognizing is that we need a roadmap to bring back as much community activity and business activity as we can, and schools as well, while making sure that we're doing it safely so we don't have another flare-up that puts us back into this more restrictive mode. So what does that mean? Well, that's what we're working on. The first piece of the bridge, as the governor laid it out, is between now and the beginning of May. We all need to continue to stay at home for the next 2 weeks. We really do. And as we do, we're going to be watching one critical number. That number is the number of people in ICU, in intensive care. That number is hovering at around a little more than 1,100 people. When we see that number start to come down and sustained reduction, that's when we're going to have the confidence that we can begin to put people back into the public realm with some protections, with a lot of protections. So the way I think about it and the way I encourage people to think about it is that the first things to shut down are going to be the last things to open. So remember when this broke and big, large sporting events, theaters, movie theaters, other big gatherings were the first to close. Universities, where students are living in close proximity with one another in dormitories, were the first to close down. Then, you know, remember schools started to close in sort of a wave. And then restaurants went from social distancing in restaurants to closing down. You know, I actually have a father who's a golfer and he's really missing his days on the golf course. That was one of the last things to close down. Things like that may be the first things to be able to get people back into being able to do. So what is needed is, number one, lots of testing. Number two, plans for every workplace and every school and every restaurant and every public place to be able to have people congregate in a safe way with social distancing, with face masks, gloves maybe. The governor mentioned maybe when you go to a restaurant, the waiter is wearing a mask. Maybe instead of a plastic coated menu, you're more likely to have a disposable menu. These kinds of things. And then, of course, the big one, as far as I'm concerned, are schools, because that is so essential to figure out how we get students back in school. So all of that is being worked on right now with our incredible public health officers who have the expertise to be able to come up with these plans. And then one more piece of this, Kathleen, and that is this. If people get sick, we really are looking at the quickly developing medicines and therapies that will be available, hopefully in the not too distant future, that have not been available now. So as you know, the main therapy for people if they end up in the hospital is a ventilator. But there are some additional therapies, some medicines that are in trials right now that could also help so that if you do contract COVID-19 and you end up in an intensive care unit, there are additional therapies in order to save people's lives.
Well, that's incredibly helpful. Thank you so much for that. And also wonderful news about golf. I'm married to a golfer, and so he'll be very excited to hear that. So before we wrap up, what advice do you have for the individuals, the many, many individuals and businesses that are economically hurt right now? And I'd particularly like for you to also address what the state's doing to help the undocumented population in California, given that we have such a large undocumented population here in the Central Valley.
That's right. Well, we know that even with our phased reopening, there is going to be a long-term economic impact to us. So we need to get people working. We need to get things moving again. But even with that, there are going to be some challenges. We have had 2.7 million people in California sign up for unemployment. Now, many programs exist today that did not exist up until just a few weeks ago. These tier off of Congress's aid package, the big $2 trillion CARES Act, one of the pieces of the CARES Act is to supplement the amount of money that people can get right now on unemployment. So if you were, it's basically up to an additional $600 per person. So that is really helping a lot of people right now. And for those who have small businesses, there's something called the PPP, Paycheck Protection Plan, which will allow you to continue to hold on to your employees during this difficult time with the ability to pay those employees through this PPP plan, which will be a grant that is forgiven by the federal government. So these are really important programs that I encourage everybody to go to our website. There are lists and lists of different resources. It's covid19.ca.gov. Now, you asked about undocumented, and I'm so glad you did. 10% of the California workforce consists of undocumented workers, and a very large percentage of our undocumented population has been here for more than 10 years. So they're our friends, our family members, our colleagues at work, and we know that any response to this has to include them. So the governor announced that they are eligible for up to $500 for an individual and $1,000 per household of a direct disaster assistance payment for our undocumented Californians.
Well, Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kounalakis, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you taking the time to fit us into your schedule.
Happy to be here, Kathleen, anytime.